I'm sure somehow by now you may have watched that very traumatizing video of passengers abducted from the Kaduna Abuja train being tortured by terrorists. If you haven't, well, maybe you've been in planet Mars or Jupiter. Well, it's caused a whole lot of outrage, not just on social media, but of course amongst many Nigerians whom and abroad. It did show hoodlums flogging male victims who wailed in pain as their female counterparts watched helplessly in horror and fear. Well, in a matter of hours from now, the Nigeria Labour Congress and some other labour unions will be going on a showdown with the federal government, and they'll be in solidarity with the Academic Staff Union of Universities, ASU, in a two-day protest. That will get us talking on the show this evening. Even as I'm sure most of you in your various homes are complaining about the spike or the hike in the price of bread. Welcome once again to another bumper package of The Newsroom, a program brought to you by The Newsroom of Nigeria Info, where we take a look, a critical look, that is, at some of the big issues that have that we have covered in the last 7 days. My name is Ufumai Igbamanu. It's great to be here, straight from the airport to the studio. Maybe not the studio, the newsroom, I should say, 2 hours ago. And I've missed Lagos, I should say. I have. 3 days out, and it felt like... Okay, let me not just go into it. Algo, our boy is in the building. Algo, a very good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm great. Great to have you back.
Did you miss me?
Well, it's let me speak like a politician. It's relative, you know. We'll never give straightforward answers.
Algo, you're always a politician.
So this is more like a diplomat.
Anyway, guys, just a reminder that we are streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. You can go catch us right there. Facebook is Nigeria Info 993. That is Nigeria Info 993. That's our Facebook handle. Like the page if you haven't. And of course, you can watch us live there. You can also go to our YouTube portal. It is Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria space Info space FM. And of course, you can watch us. Quickly, let's get into the thick of the action. There's absolutely no way you would have watched yesterday's video. Let me be very honest with you. I tried to avoid it because most times when I watch videos like that or see pictures like that, you know, it somehow sticks into my head and I try to avoid such things. But I couldn't because it was all over the timeline. It was on people's WhatsApp status. So there's absolutely no way I would have missed it, even though I was somewhere away from Lagos. And I'm sure there's no way you would have seen that video and not cringe or feel some form of despair or some form of depression, you know, watching for the three of your abducted passengers from March the 28th in that unfortunate incident along the Abuja Kaduna train. Some bit of updates. We hear three of those persons have actually been, you know, released. And in that video, you know, recorded in Hausa, we saw victims lamenting, you know, that the Nigerian government had failed in meeting the demands of the terrorists. The terrorists themselves went on to threaten President Muhammadu Buhari right there. And of course, it was really, you know, not a great one to watch yesterday. Let's see if we can take a listen to some of the passengers, you know, who were abducted, to hear them speak. Looks like I might be having some challenge with that one, but let's leave that one. And of course, let you know that we will be speaking with the head of security and strategic studies. Apologies, I don't know what's wrong with my tongue. He is the head of the security and strategic studies at the Nigerian Institute of International Affairs, Dr. Joshua Olusegun Balarinwa. We're trying to get that connection to him up there. But even as we do that, let me just ask Algo quickly. Algo, I'm sure you've seen that video and you've been talking about it almost all morning.
Yeah.
what was your reaction when you saw the video?
Oh, well, honestly, it's unfortunate, you know, and I just like you, I tried to see how I can get the image out of my mind. These terrorists put out these sort of videos. They have a goal, and the goal, of course, is to spread fear. And then we as media will have to sift through it and find a way to get to the root of this whole thing, which is the humanity behind it, which is, of course, I love the way everyone has condemned and outraged, you know, completely condemned that entire clip to put people through. And let no one make no mistake about this. The bad guys are the terrorists. There's no way this is going to change. Anyone decides to put people in harm's way. I mean, they're not the reason for the problems they're facing. You know, so I think that is the first thing that comes to my mind. I mean, they've been in captivity now. Over 100 days they have been held captive. And the question that comes to a lot of people's mind is, so what's going to happen with them? What's the government's response going to be? We have 100 million naira, they say, for each of those captives. It's unthinkable that we'll have that money in the hands of these sort of people. We already know what they're doing with
and imagine what they would want to do with that amount of money.
Yes, absolutely. Imagine. Well, we already have an idea. I mean, we know now that they use the money to buy more arms, you know, at least from interviews they've taken from some of those bandits that have been allowed themselves to be interviewed. They use the money to buy arms and then cost more torment, unfortunately, to people who are going about
and even have the audacity to threaten the president, to threaten some governors.
It's unfortunate. And you know, just like back in the days when Boko Haram with Shekau videos that he was churning on a regular basis, what he sought to do was to drive fear into the minds of people and the hearts of people. Even if I don't know if we have Joshua Bolarinwa there now. Are you there, Dr. Bolarinwa? All right, looks like we're having difficulty connecting with you.
Yes, but, it looks like we're really having difficulties with that one. But of course, you actually heard Algo's explanations right there. You know, the fact that it's a recurrent decimal, it's a cycle. It feels like the absurd happens in the country, and it's no longer a big deal, so to speak. It just feels like it's now normal. You know, when you hear these terrorist attacks and you hear 20 people have died, 10 people have died, you know, there's really no feeling anymore because we've become so used to it. That's the danger of where we are going right now.
Exactly.
Have we been able to get...
It's the danger of not doing anything when the problem first shows up. So we can't even say nip in the bud because this has gone beyond the budding stage. So they've gone from ordinary bandits who used to go with light weapons, and then now they're carrying high profile kidnappings and abductions, collaborating with groups like Ansaru and ISWAP. So they've gone rogue completely, and it's unfortunate that the opportunity to take them out, we didn't really take that opportunity. But we have Joshua Bolarinwa.
Yeah, we have Dr. Joshua joining us right now. He is the head of security and strategic studies at the Nigerian Institute of International Affairs. A very good evening to you, sir. Welcome to the newsroom.
Good evening.
Okay, quickly, let's just talk about the video from yesterday. You have heard the threats by the terrorists. What do you make of it?
Well, you say it's a threat gone too far. Not only that, it's a serious national embarrassment. If a group like ISWAP or ISIL or a Boko Haram variant will be threatening a sitting president, be threatening a sitting governor, that they are the next target. But of course, why they have such effrontery is that they have attacked Kuje prison, released some of the inmates who are supposed to be their members, who they've been negotiating for, that for those trained attack captives, that for them to release them, they need to release some of their members from prisons. But the federal government did not listen to such demand or request or a swap deal at that level. So deliberately, but it's unfortunate the federal government could also not be able to guard such prisons where you have put high-profile criminals or militants or even terrorists like that, to the extent that they came, attacked the prisons, released their mates, and now because even the federal government or even Kaduna State government refused to talk with them to release the other people who are still under their captivity, the trained captives. So it is so unfortunate, it's so unacceptable. My friend will say it's an ungodly act for a terrorist or for a group of terrorists to be threatening a sitting president like that of Nigeria and a governor too. So it's a joke, or in quotes, I would say a threat carried too far.
All right, and while this is going on, more importantly, beyond the threat are the unfortunate Nigerians who have been the captives, and you saw them in the video also too. So at least we have proof of life for at least 62 of the abductees.
Yes.
So
they are beaten seriously, being tortured.
All right. So
they
so
are malnourished.
I want to bring you up to speed. You know, well, it's not really up to speed. If you think about the National Assembly has already put out laws saying that we don't pay ransom to criminals or to terrorists as an official policy. Same with the federal government has also voiced this over and over again. What do you think we can do to get those passengers, abducted passengers, out? I mean, it's already way, way too far in the day for them to still be in the hands of these criminals.
Yes. It's an irony of life or things or events. If some of these trained abductees, these people who are in their captivity now, some of them, their freedom has been negotiated. Some of them, their freedom has been paid for. We are aware it's in the public domain, it's in the media, both print, electronic media. It's all out there. When they say about 8 people, that last time, they paid $100 million for one person. So for even about 8 or thereabouts abductees among these captives, they collected over $800 million. All of these things amount to financing and oiling terrorism. And that is where they get enough money to buy more weapons, to buy so many things, to be attacking the people, governments, government establishments, government places, and all of that. Imagine only today, the government in Abuja just said in the federal government college in Kwali should be shut and the students should be evacuated because a community close to that federal government college in Kwali was already attacked by bandits or terrorists. So that puts the lives of pupils, students, in danger. So the federal government quickly reacted and just shut down the school and tried to protect the students and ask them to proceed home. So in this context, if the National Assembly says there is a law, there is a policy that says you should not pay ransom to terrorists or kidnappers or bandits or whoever you want to call them, and their lives are languishing in captivity, malnourished, suffering, lack of food, lack of good place to or food to eat well and all of those things, and their freedom is also not sure, and they've been there since March. Since March, this is barely a few days, over 4 months, they've been in that captivity. So some of them, their release have been negotiated. Some of them, they've paid ransom to these terrorists and they've released them. They've released most of them. There was one MD of one bank, I've forgotten, which they pay handsomely to release him to. If you remember, it's in the public domain.
Yep.
So these few ones too, I think if their families can struggle, can do any other thing, and softly go and negotiate their freedom. Sincerely, personal opinion, I'm not against it. Our National Assembly should help them to negotiate and release them. These are innocent Nigerians. These are free Nigerians. These are hardworking Nigerians. These are tax-paying Nigerians who normally under the responsibility of the government, should be taken care of, should be protected, and there should be a way to negotiate or make their release and make their families happy. There, today, I saw a release where they say the families of those 62 remaining captives or abductees in the captivity of this ISWAP, they are protesting today. You understand? So, what will even their protest amount to? Will it force the government to say, okay, now let's go and release them? Will it force the government, let's go and pay for the ransom? Will it force the government to say, okay, what are they demanding or requesting for? Let's give them so that they can release these innocent Nigerians. And let them, freedom is very, in this cost now, in this context now, freedom is very costly and it's priceless. So all they want is their freedom.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Joshua. We appreciate the fact that you joined us on the newsroom this evening.
Thank you.
All right. That was, of course, the head of Security and Strategic Studies at the Nigeria Institute of International Affairs, Dr. Joshua, joining us on the program. And, of course, when he talked about that, the school part, you know, he hit home. You know, sometimes when these things happen, I'll go, it might feel abstract to you until it possibly comes very, very close. I remember when this attack happened in March, a colleague of ours in Port Harcourt, you know, he has two boys in what's it called? Boarding schools in Abuja. Yeah. You know, and we were discussing, and he told me, Fuma, at the end of this term, I'm taking my boys out of Abuja. I'm going to bring them back to Port Harcourt where I'm based because I don't know where we're going to. There's a possibility these attacks, you know, might get to Abuja and I don't want to be in that sorry state. And at the beginning of this term that just ended, you know, the boys were taken away from the school they were in Abuja and brought home to Port Harcourt. When the incident happened this morning and of course the federal government made that pronouncement, I just sent him a message. You know, and he replied and said, thank God I did that. Who knows what, you know, would have happened. We pray nothing of that sort actually happens. Even as we move on, you know, to our next topic of discussion today, it's been ongoing for the better part of the last, make that 5 months, February the 14th. And I know a lot of you remember that day because it is Valentine's Day. That's the day a strike action embarked upon by the Academic Staff Union of Universities started in this country. Until date, as we speak, well, students in public universities are still at home. Tomorrow and Wednesday, the Nigerian Labour Congress says that many offices and businesses will be on lockdown as they go ahead to protest in solidarity with ASUU. It's 161 days since ASUU embarked on that strike. And just a couple of days ago, the president directed his Minister of Education, Adamu Adamu, to resolve the prolonged strike in 2 weeks. Well, we'll wait and see how that pans out. And of course, joining us on the show this evening to talk about that is the president of ASUU. Emmanuel Oshodeke joining us right now. A very good evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
Yes, welcome to the newsroom on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And quickly, let me ask you, the federal government says ASUU should not go ahead, NLC should not go ahead, you know, with the planned solidarity protest that's supposed to start tomorrow. What do you have to say about that pronouncement? In fact, they even called it illegal. What do you have to say about that pronouncement from the federal government?
Well, every Nigerian has a right to protest peacefully. And every association also have a right to protest peacefully. So you don't have nobody will come here and tell you that protesting in a country like Nigeria, a democratic country, which is illegal. So it's completely wrong what they have said. So the NLC have a right to organize a protest if there are issues that government refuse to implement. The children of these NLC people, all of us, have been at home for 5 months plus, and the government is doing nothing. I want people to just sit down and be watching where their children are busy sitting at home doing nothing, What the children of those who run the country, who are telling us that rally and protest is illegal, are having good education outside the country, does it make any meaning? So for us, NSC, do the right thing. I will praise the federal leadership of NSC for taking over the struggle to ensure that our university system, our education system, function properly, like every other one in the country, in the whole world, even in Africa and West Africa. So that's what they are doing, and I think it's the best thing. In those countries that are serious about development, the first priority of such country is education.
Mm.
But here, we are playing it down because they are sending Nigerians abroad to go and have good education, and then they come back and take the good job that not only Nigerian person should get. And that is why they are struggling. That's why the NYC want to protest, and it's right to protest. If government don't want to protest, they had more than some. NYC gave this directive, this warning in May. They had all this problem to resolve this protest, resolve this problem, if they had listened.
Mm. All right, Prof. It's about a week since directive from President Buhari to the Minister of Education to solve the issues with, of course, your union. Where are we right now? What exactly is... Okay, let me not ask what's the issue. I'll get to that in a bit. But where are we right now from that pronouncement by the president?
Well, I think that question should go to the government team. The people who are directed, they've not reached out to us up to now. Nobody has talked to us officially on any issue that we have since that directed by the government, by the president.
Okay, so what exactly is the problem? For the benefit of those who may have traveled out of the country, haven't heard, have no idea why the union, is on strike. In a nutshell, explain to us why ASUU is on strike.
Well, I assume that every Nigerian, even everybody in the whole world, is all over the world, and know why we're on strike. The reason is very clear. One, in 2009, we reached an agreement on a number of issues, including funding on universities and salary, the welfare of academic staff, and other matters. And between there and now, 13 years, our salary has remained stagnant. What the professor was earning in 2019 is still what he's earning now. When, as at that time, the exchange rate was less than 1 to 100 naira, now it's 1 to 600. So we still get on the same place. Two, universities were so bad, they are still bad, and the government decided to set up a panel to go around all the universities to look at the problem in the university, so they need assessment panel, and they came with a report, an assessment report, based on which they agreed that they will allocate, they will put about 1.3 trillion naira into the university, and was spread over 6 years, which they never did. So that is the critical issue. We also saw end academic allowances, the university are understaffed academically, and there are people who are supposed to be teaching, maybe 100 students are teaching 1,000, and then we have this issue of end academic allowances in the agreement, which they also have refused to pay the backlog, the arrears, and all implement. Then suddenly, as we are doing this, they introduced the thing they call IPPIS, which Nigeria is paying heavily for, and never tested when it came to this country, and have been here for 16 years. And today, the private people, their end salary, today they pay some people, the other day they will reduce your salary and what have you. Nobody knows what they are going to be paid next. And the outcome of that, you are aware that today the man who manned that ICIS, the head of that ICIS, is being alleged to have stolen 190 billion naira for this country, one man. So those are that is another issue they introduced. And we said, no, you cannot apply that to the university that has special characteristics, which is, the lecturer, you have the cadre of lecturers, those who are part-time, sabbatical, contract, and what have you. So, but they insisted on doing that. And when we went on strike 2020, they said that we should produce an alternative, which we have done, and they are making their hesitancy to implement. Those are those issues that are in agreement. Those are the issues for which we are on strike. And we met with the government and negotiated those conditions of service. And in May 2021, we reached an agreement. They said we're going to see their principal, the government, and come back to sign. They never came back in 1 year. And said they disagree. They set up another panel held by Nimi Briggs. And we negotiated and concluded with them in June 16, 2022. Till now, they've not come back to us. So well, it is only last week we had the president get directed that he must finish all the process within 2 weeks. I would thought by now they would have reached out to us. That we can resolve, but nothing has happened. So that is the issue.
All right, Prof. My colleague, Al Obo, is also here. He's got one or two questions for you.
All right, Prof. Professor Shoreke. So it's interesting. You know, when we spoke on Friday, probably we're thinking by some miracle, this whole protest.
It's volume.
Yeah, so I was saying that, you know, we're thinking that after we spoke with you on Friday, by today, maybe something would have happened miraculously and then changed the face of the government. But apparently, from what you're saying, there's been no change in the government side. But, you know, a lot of people, Prof, a lot of people say that this protest rally going to happen tomorrow and then the day after tomorrow may not achieve anything, even though the NLC thinks it could force the hand of the government. But they also say if it doesn't achieve anything, they're going to go on a three-day warning strike, but they want to take a day as it comes. Are you optimistic that after this protest on Tuesday and Wednesday, anything will change? And if nothing changes, what do you do next?
Look, if Nigerian Labour Congress or Nigerian workers, including those of you in the press, if all of us join, all our children are suffering. The country is suffering. No foreign students come here. We are paying money to that country. Nobody pays to us. If we believe that this country should grow, that education should work, all of us have to join. And any government who said that a union, all the union in this country, went on demonstration, say do the right thing, you don't, you are asking for catastrophe. That is it. So it has to work. And we appeal to the government to not allow this country to degenerate to that level, where the workers will protest, and when they come back, you say, no, you will not do anything. I don't think it's right.
Well, there have been allegations sometimes from ASUU, you know, that the Minister of Labour and Productivity, Dr. Chris Ngige, you know, has been more like a cog in the wheel, so to speak. He's been disrupting a lot of these negotiations. How true is this allegation?
That is completely true now. If not true, the president will not have asked to hand off the negotiation. It was one who had kept it all along. We went on strike. We met with him so many times, no result. We went on strike. And instead of apprehending the strike and solving immediately, just other countries will do, it's that to hold our salary. Ticket that we are on, like all other workers, that if you hold our salary for 2 or 3 months, we'll come kneeling before him and begging him. I had as well for 5 months. And our members are not bothered because this is a struggle for the heart of Nigerian education system. So that's one idea. I make a lot of issues on everywhere you had him. So that is it. That's why we believe that with the new person, we are very optimistic that he will resolve the issues.
Mm-hmm. And talking about your members, you know, we know what the students are going through. We get to interface with them offline and online. But what about the members of your association? They've been out of, they've not been working for the past 6 months. Give us an overview of what it is to be out of work for 6 months now.
That's come again.
Yeah, I said members of ASUU haven't lectured in the past 6 months, and I'm just curious to know what's been happening with members of the association during the strike period.
You're on strike. They are closed. And many of them are doing their research work. Because they can use the function of academics, which many of us maybe is not to understand, the function of academics is one, research and development. That is one, number one priority of a lecturer at the university. Number two is teaching. And number three, community service. So the only one we are on strike on is the strike, teaching. So they are still doing their research, they are doing their community service.
All right, Prof. I would like to thank you for taking your time. I know you've been busy all day, but thank you for joining us on the newsroom on Nigeria Info.
Thank you very much.
All right. That was, of course, Professor Shoreke, the president of the Academic Staff Union of Universities, joining us on the newsroom this evening. I'll go.
I was just thinking, you know, this is perhaps, I can't remember what number Professor Shoreke will be in terms of numbers of ASUU
president
that we've had to speak with during the several years of strike. The one who was before him, Professor, I think, Oguyemi also too, we had also to speak through this entire thing. I can imagine when they get to sit down together and compare notes, they basically have done the same thing, you know.
Over and over again. I stayed strike. 3 months at home at a point in time from strike, had one of the worst, actually not one, the worst result in my university days, immediately after that strike, because of course I came home to Lagos and was playing from one place to the other. So it's really not funny. A lot of these students have taken to maybe menial jobs. Some their parents are already tired of them, you know, at home. It's really sad. Well, we did speak to the head of information at the Nigeria Labour Congress, Benson Upa, about the, you know, a lot of things, especially the protest which was supposed to take place which is supposed to take place tomorrow, and you know, all the other questions. Take a listen to what he had to say.
We're not out for fun on the streets. We are doing the rally tomorrow as part of the process of communication with the government. So if government in its wisdom chooses to bring this to an end, why not? There will be no need for us to go out to the streets. But if it does not, I assure you there will be rallies across the country tomorrow. Just rallies, not strike. This is rally. So there's a difference between rallies and strike action. We are going to hold rallies to communicate, to say we don't like it, this is what should be done. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow in the 36th state of the federation. Then on Wednesday we'll do the same thing here in Abuja. Just rally. An injury to one is an injury to all. So all the unions will be involved in rallies tomorrow. And the rallies, they'll be peaceful. You know, we have an impeccable record of peaceful rallies. Our rallies have a beginning and they have an end. No distractions. If anyone tries to infiltrate us, the person will be doing so at his or her own peril. We have no ulterior motive and we shall not accommodate miscreants, infiltrators, either from the roadside or from any government agency. If, however, the rallies fail to achieve the purpose for which they are executed, we will now escalate this to strike action.
That was the head of information at the Nigeria Labour Congress, Benson Upa, speaking to our correspondent Emmanuel Onwuka a little earlier. I've got this message from WhatsApp. Ndu from Ojodu says, good evening, Ufoma. NLC protest is okay, but it's not going to change anything. This government don't care about any issue concerning the common man. And I totally agree with you, Ndu. I remember just a few weeks ago, about 2 months ago, when we had issues with aviation fuel and airlines are threatening to, you know, shut down. See the speed with which Nigeria's legislators, you know, government officials, the speed with which they found ways to resolve that crisis, because to a large extent, it directly affects them. They all fly from Abuja to wherever it is, you know, they have families. And that was resolved in a matter of weeks or days. But we've gone going to the sixth month, you know, of strike, because like Professor Shodeke actually said, a lot of their kids and wards don't school here in this public institution. So why do they care?
All right. I mean, if you take the years last year, take 2 years, the COVID period, they've not been in school for up to 6 months in 3 years. It's unbelievable. And it's affecting every single thing. Medical doctors cannot graduate.
Did you say 6 months? 1 year.
Yeah.
The whole lockdown was 3 months. Uh-huh. After the lockdown, it took another 3 months or thereabouts.
So in 3 years, how many months have they been in school?
It's almost 12 months.
It's unbelievable. And I think about what we do when we are desperate. I remember former President Goodluck Jonathan. He took a $1 billion loan to fight Boko Haram. I remember very well. $1 billion just to get Boko. If we take a loan to pay up, they say 1.3 trillion naira is what they agreed, the MOA. 200 billion naira every year. So 200 billion times 6 years is 1.2 trillion naira. If you commit to at least 200 billion naira for this year alone, how much did the government use to clean up the dirty fuel? 200 billion naira is what was used to clean up the
unfortunately
dirty fuel.
Time not so on our side, but of course that's an ongoing conversation we'll continue to have. Quickly, let's talk about our third topic for today, just you and I here, because of course you and I eat bread. Even though I've been promising myself I will stop eating bread because it looks like it gets me fat. He gets me on the big side.
I switched to Ogi. I don't eat bread anymore. But the children eat bread, so there's no escape from it.
Ufoma and Colette, my kids, will not stop eating bread. They, as in, Daddy, I want bread and tea. That's the first thing they will tell you when they wake up. Anyway, the Association of Master Bakers and Caterers, they've called off their four-day strike. But, of course, they increased bread by 20%.
Hmm.
How much is it? I haven't bought bread in Lagos for 5-6 days or thereabout. How much is average bread sold now? Yeah. Sliced bread.
And the frightening thing of this whole thing is it still doesn't make them break even.
Mm.
Before they went on this strike, I understand about 30% of all bakeries shut down in the country. 30%. And I fear for how many, because you probably think with this strike, probably they, if you ask them, what have they really achieved? Nothing. I mean, all the things they asked for, the price of wheat is still up. The price of sugar is still up.
But then again, you could also argue that the war between Russia and Ukraine is a large reason why the price of wheat, you know, has actually gone up, why the price of diesel has actually gone up. There's really nothing, for example, the federal government can do about their agitations.
There's one tariff they talked about, 15% tariff on soap. They said, take away that tariff at least to even show commitment to you, but they left the tariff there. The tariff is on, I think it's on bringing in wheat that the bakers is then transferred to the bakers to pay. So that's one major problem they have to deal with.
That's understandable.
Yeah, so they haven't even taken that one away. So I said, how you guys, they're doing the bread with firewood right now, which is, I hear they even advise the government, look, there's the cassava thing. Why don't you substitute the wheat with cassava? That was even in, they've abandoned that one also too. So the lack of communication appears between the government and them, unfortunately, is also worsening the thing for them. But would love to have, because I looked at the numbers of people who are employed in the value chain for bread. So many people and their jobs now at risk. Sad,
really sad. Concerning the issue on the ground, if you say we are going to wait till all the innocent people under their captive are rescued, they will continue to destroy Nigeria. That's a comment on our WhatsApp portal, even though the person did not put his name. Well, guys, that's the much we have for you on the newsroom this evening. I hope you have actually enjoyed our conversation. Remember that elections have consequences. We have been shouting this for God knows how long right now in Nigeria. If you register to vote, go to the nearest INEC office near you. You've got a couple more days, 6 days or thereabouts to do that, you know. And if you have any news-related events you want our newsroom to know, call us on 01-465-7175. That is 01-465-7175. On behalf of the newsroom team, especially our able producer, Emmanuel Onwuka, who did a fantastic job with today's show, and of course, Nenna Precious Okon, thank you very much for hanging out with us. My name is Ufome Egbamunu. I've done this with Aogo Obo. We'll be back next week, hopefully, for another bumper package of the newsroom. It comes your way 6:15 every Monday till at least 5 minutes to 7. Take care, people. We are out of here.